Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
A rough night last night for our Eurovision delegation. Wild Youth failed to qualify for the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest. Ireland has not reached the final since 2018. That's 5 years. Michael Keely is the head of the delegation and he's in Liverpool and he's on the line. Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Have we done this before?
you mean had a chat on the day after we failed to qualify for the final of Eurovision?
Yes.
It does feel like an annual Groundhog Day thing, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It does. Listen, commiserations, because I know when everybody's putting this together, nobody wants to be talking about this the day after the first semi-final, and everybody's hoping that we'd be flying the flags in the grand final. And, of course, the ultimate goal is to win the Eurovision, which we've done 7 times before. So remind us what happens on today, the day after, the night before.
What happens today?
Yeah, like what's the chats going on and all that?
Well, obviously, I mean, people are devastated. I mean, really what happened last night was after the arena, we all got on the bus back to the hotel and then we kind of sat around in the bar and we had a late night drink, and a lot of the family and friends of the band were over, you know. So,
yeah.
So there was a lot of it's quite an emotional thing, Ray. I mean, you know, you've been here, you've been in the centre of that kind of thing. So it is like a lot of time and effort and emotional capital, I suppose, is spent on our Eurovision effort every year, and it is devastating when. You know, we don't get through to the final. Like, so the guys were all geared up. They were focused on the show last night, but they had one eye on getting to the final on Saturday. And you know, when that doesn't happen, it's tough. It is tough for them.
Yeah.
You know, I feel for any artist now, to be honest, who has to go through it, because it's a pressure cooker out here. You know,
it is, and it's a very public failure in a way. You know, that's it, because you're up there and you don't get through, people are looking at you right down to the very last moment when they call out the last country.
You're very exposed.
Yes,
there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I said I always say to the guys, and I say to anybody that takes part, to look. You know, you only have. I mean, people are worried about, you know, that aspect of it, and they're worried about the, you know, the potential for public failure like that. But as I say to myself, look, you know, you only have fans to win, because the fans that love you already are probably not going to stop loving you just because you go to Eurovision, and you know, you only have tens of thousands of fans to win all over Europe, and I think. To be honest, I think that's what Wild Youth did last night, you know, despite the fact they didn't get to the final.
I don't know if you're listening to Liveline, Michael, but they got...
I wasn't, actually, no, sorry.
They got a full show out of it, and everybody was offering up their opinions on what went wrong and how to change it.
What was the consensus? Can you tell me?
well, the spectacle wasn't big enough. Some people poo-pooed the whole competition, saying it was nothing but, you know...
I mean, either like it or you don't, I suppose.
Yeah. Then people, one guy said, you should have scouts at music festivals from now. Somebody else said throw in the towel. Somebody else was given out the fact that we hire in talent, that we don't have faith in Irish talent. One of the songwriters was Swedish, and up until the time they parted company was the another person, English or something like that. There were some guy was very well informed.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know that, because that thing about the songwriters I've heard people kind of given out about that before. That's the modern world we live in. Like, people collaborate on songs across the globe. You know, people work with, you know, people from Dublin work with people from LA, who work with people from Prague or Paris or Berlin. Like, that is the modern world, you know. So you can't really roll back the clock and say, we're going to only have people who collaborate with other people in Ireland, you know.
The most common theme that came up was a national song contest. Most people said we have to separate the competition from the Late Late Show. And they were saying now that Ryan Tuberty is going from the Late Late Show, it's an opportunistic time to do that.
Listen, I'm as opportunistic as the next person, Ray, when it comes to this. I would agree. I mean, I think the Late Late has you know, has served it well in a way, because it has been the only vehicle of a sufficient scale that we can do, to be honest. It's very limited, you know, in terms of its scale, but it's pretty much the best thing we can do in that studio, you know. One of the things that I always say, and like, I'm not going to win any popularity contest for saying this, but like, RTÉ has been chronically underfunded, I think, in my opinion. I mean, it's not just my opinion, lots of people say it's for decades, and it shows particularly when it comes to us putting on entertainment shows, and in particular entertainment shows. Like, I think we make the best use of facilities, and we do news and current affairs and sport and all sorts of other shows, drama, you know, quite well and very well in lots of cases. But when it comes to entertainment, you need scale to make it look as impressive as a show that you would see in other European countries, you know. And the truth is, our facilities in RTÉ aren't sufficient to mount shows like that, you know. And you've probably been to stations all over Europe the same way I have, you know, making radio shows or whatever. And you see the facilities that they have, you know. I mean, you know,
we're a smaller country. We're a smaller country.
Yeah,
yes.
But even go down to small countries like Austria. Finland is a country, you know, of you know, similar population size, but they have much more modern studio facilities. They have
okay, so that's that one there. I'm just the chats in the bar and the licking of the wounds and all of that. Was there anything said that could have been done differently? Did anybody say we should have done this or we should have done that?
No, because I think what they had a very clear vision of what they wanted to do. I mean, Connor, who was
the lead singer.
Yeah, lead singer last night. He had a very, very clear vision of what he wanted to do. He wanted, you know, that sort of that gold look. He wanted to wear the spangly gold outfit. He wanted to.
And do you have any say in that? Could you advise him one way or the other?
Of course, but I mean, it's not my job. Isn't to impose my artistic vision on them. You know, my job is just to help them realize their own artistic vision to the best of their ability and our ability, and obviously, you know, to make it work from a Eurovision point of view as well. So, I think the best thing that I can do is to help an artist realize their vision and their potential on the stage. I mean, that's
but
what I
suppose
to be, not to tell people what to do or what to sing or
no,
what
but
to wear or what to, you know.
But you have
so
been
I'll
involved in it.
I'll advise them if I think something, if I think something could be done slightly better or slightly differently or whatever. And of course, I'm there to really make sure that things like we're getting the best possible use of the cameras that are available, use of the lighting and all that kind of stuff.
But Michael, you are the head of delegation. You have been so for the last 10 years. So when it comes to an act, when it comes to a meeting, you are probably the most experienced person in the room, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I mean, I'm not going to tell them, look, I've had a great idea, this is what you're going to do. You know what I mean? So, and because I mean, that wouldn't be true to the artist. It wouldn't be authentic for them, and they probably wouldn't feel like they owned it to the same extent that they felt they owned it last night.
Okay.
They were like, they kind of owned that stage last night, if you ask me. And I thought they all did an absolutely amazing job at it, you know.
Well, let's give the I said you were coming on, and I said that people could address questions and comments to you. So Mary has been on. I watch Eurovision every year, but after last night, I'm finished with it. Wild Youth deserve to be in the final. How good they must be, and they were brilliant. It's a waste of time and money. Very disappointed, says Mary. People can say what they like, says Nikki. A good song will always stand up anywhere. You are playing a song that is 43 years old. I played What's Another Year by Johnny Logan. And you could play Niamh Cavan and Linda Martin, Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan, or any of our seven winners, and people will still know the words of the songs. Just saying, a good song can win without all the theatrics. And these are all comments. Is it not time to completely overhaul the selection process for the song we send forward for Eurovision? This is the same old conversation we've been having for the last number of years. Simply put, the song by Wild Youth was very mediocre at best. It was very dated and instantly forgettable. There is so much diversity of musical talent in this country, which is not being given an opportunity. This appears to be a closed shop situation, which is very disappointing. This is Kim. Please change the selection process for next year and open the competition to a much wider base. From a true Eurovision fan.
Can I address that one?
Yes,
in particular,
you can.
Because, like you mentioned, it's a closed shop. It's not a closed shop. We advertised for people to send in songs last September or October. I can't remember. I think it was the end of September, maybe beginning of October. That's open to anybody who wants to send in a song. There's no, I don't go around and just limit it to you know, a certain set of artists or individuals. Yeah. Anybody who wants to send a song can send it in. And they are all listened to. And they're not listened to just by me. They're listened to by, you know, a panel of 30 or 40 different people. So so that one I just want to address, because I said it's not a closed shop by any means. And
do people get confused, Michael? I know in other countries that it seems to be the same every year. I'm thinking about Sweden, and they have that brilliant competition. Yeah. And it's a big event. It's celebrated. There's semi-finals. You know, everybody gets behind it. It appears to me that every year I have to ask the same question. How are they selecting the song this year? What's the process? That it's not the same every year, and people get confused. And when people get confused, they think that maybe somebody's trying to pull the wool over their eyes or something like that.
All right. Okay. Well, look, I just want to reassure people. No one is trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. It's a completely transparent process. I mean, Sweden do the Melody Festival, which is, as you know, is this massive music show that starts in August or September. They start selecting acts, and it goes on for 6 or 8 weeks at the beginning of the following year, you know. So, but it's a very, very successful show, and so they've got they've hit on a formula that works for them, works very well for them. Like they've got 2 wins in the last 10 years. They've got the favourite going into the final on Saturday, so they're looking potentially at 3 wins in 10 years. So why would they change their approach?
You know, contrast that with us and the last 10 years with Ireland. Well, so what we've got out of the semi final how many times in the last 10 years?
Exactly, that's the point.
So how many times?
Isn't it twice out of the semi-final in the last 10 years?
Okay.
But we've tried a lot of different methods. So it would be, people would give out to us if we said we just stuck to the same method for 10 or 12 years and we only got out twice, or whatever it is. At least, you know, what we do is we look at it every year and we thought, well, is there a better way of doing it? Or could we do it slightly differently? Or could we look at, you know, some other method of trying to pick a winner?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why we change it, is because we're trying to improve it, or at least we're trying to improve our chances.
Now, okay.
You know, if we hit on a method that's going to be, that suddenly starts giving us top 10, you know, entries, then we'll obviously keep it for a while.
Do you think that it will be separated from the Late Late Show next year, the selection process?
I honestly don't know at the moment, because that's that'll be a conversation to have, obviously, with the heads in the entertainment department in RTE, and of course with the incoming Late Late Show team and that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, nobody knows who's going to be in.
And you produced the last national song contest, did you? Is that, and people are calling for it. Little do they know that what was selected out of that was Dustin.
Well,
I know, but I was listening to Liveline today, and it was funny because the same person would say, Dustin is the reason we're not winning, and we should bring back the national song contest. when actually Dustin was the last time we had a national song contest. So there you
go. Also, the interesting thing about that was back in 2008, and the result was selected just by a televote.
Yes,
which was the same as last night. The results last night were purely by televote and not by jury. Which I don't know the answer to that. I mean, you know, if we'd gotten through with just a televote last night, I would have said it's the best system in the world and they should never bring a jury back.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, the public voted Dustin.
And when will you get the breakdown? When will we know where we were in the bottom five?
I mean, we'll probably, the EBU, or, you know, publish the results on Sunday after the competition is all over. They'll let you know what ranking you were. But to be honest, I don't really pay attention to that, because you either qualify or you don't, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know, after that, it's kind of irrelevant.
Somebody says, young people do not watch The Late Late. Should they be targeted more in choosing our Eurovision entry? Separate programme needs to be done solely for choosing our entry. Use Vicar Street or Whelan's or the Round Room in the Mansion House as the stage. Need to grab people's attention to get them to tune in on the night. And somebody else on Liveline said that TG Cahir should get control of the Eurovision because they do a great job on the Junior Eurovision. You have to have a known performer attached to the song, and the website explicitly says you have to be experienced. It says It's not a contest for beginners. Well, we did that this year. You see, you would have thought that Wild Youth, because they have an awful lot of experience under their belts, they're seasoned performers, that we were sort of addressing that thing, but it didn't work for us.
Yeah, I mean, I say it's not a competition for beginners because it's not an amateur competition. I think people tend to confuse it. Some people tend to still think of it as a kind of an amateur song contest or an amateur, like a festival or something that you go along to, and if you're a good singer at home, you can, you know, you might do well in that. It is the most professional music competition in the world and the biggest music competition in the world. And even standing on that stage when you're not performing in an empty arena is terrifying enough, you know, and I've done that myself. And seasoned performers like Wild Youth will tell you that nothing really can prepare you for the enormity of the Eurovision when you walk out onto that stage. And like we've had, as you know, over the years, we've been lucky enough to have people like Nicky Byrne represent us, who is no stranger to huge stages. And he said this was unlike anything. I mean, we spoke about it afterwards, but he said it was unlike anything he's ever done before, because when you walk out on that stage as a band or as an individual performer, you only get 3 minutes. So it's not like you're doing a full hour and a half set where you get three or four songs to warm up, and by, you know, an hour into it, you're on fire. You've got to be on fire from the first second that you're on. So it is extraordinarily difficult. And I would think that somebody who has no experience of being on a stage would find that practically impossible.
I felt for Conor last night watching, because you could see that in his eyes, and we were just discussing it, and everybody has an opinion, Michael, but if you're coming out to something like Finland's hard hitting 142 beats per minute. Well, that's not it, that's Chechnya. Sorry, it's this one here, isn't it? That it's easier to get into it, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? And that's, but, and there's Finland. That's the one. It's everybody's favourite. He jumped out of the box and out of the TV, and it was just so impactful and so energetic. Yeah. And by comparison, you have, there is a contrast there, isn't there?
But it's a song contest, so there has to be room for all types of music. If there was nothing but 15 songs at 142 beats per minute, people would get very tired of it.
You do need
variety, and you do need, you know, a mix of ballads and up-tempo songs, and, you know.
Okay, final question, Michael, because we're coming up to the note. So how do you feel now about your role in the competition?
Well, I know how other people feel about it. But, well, look, I'll say to you, Ray, like I enjoy doing this, and I'll do it as long as RTE want me to do it, because obviously they're the ultimate employers. And but all I'll say is, you know, although I'm not the most popular person on social media among some of the fans, but I always think of it as something like a bit like, you know, if I can torture an analogy here, but a bit like a run-down train running on a poorly maintained track, and it's always late, you know. Now, is getting rid of the driver going to fix it, or do you invest in the infrastructure to improve the actual train itself? So that would be my view of it. Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's any help to you or anybody, but look, bottom line is I still enjoy doing it, and I'll do it as long as you want me to.
And Michael, we appreciate the fact that it's a tough day for you today and you took time out to talk to us, so thank you for that. And will you wish the lads the best, or, you know, just pass on our best wishes to them, because they were always nice when they were in with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking to them again.
Absolutely. And they really appreciated your support on the show, Ray. Thanks. Oh,
thanks, Michael. Thank you. Thanks.
All right, thanks,
the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Thank you.